for just a short prayer here for his help. Father, thank you again for this wonderful day that we've had today. Thank you for your presence that we've enjoyed on this Lord's Day. Help us again is our prayer. It seems like we're always asking for help. But we can do nothing without your touch, and we need you this evening. Touch your unworthy servant one more time. Bless this people. Encourage every heart that's here. Don't let a one go away discouraged. But may we be encouraged by the things of God in these days in which we find ourselves living. Accomplish your will in your way, and Father, for what you do, we'll thank you for it. For we ask it in your name. Amen. Well, this morning we talked just a little bit about why we are here. Why are we here? And what are we doing here? This evening we want to talk about where we're going. Where are we going from here? What's down the road? What's out there in the future? Well, certainly we know that the coming of the Lord's there for us, and one of these days he's going to come. The devil would like for every one of us to forget about the Lord's coming. But we dare not. We need to remember that he's coming and stay ready for that event. That's going to be one of the greatest, if not the greatest, events that will take place in our life outside of our conversion. But it'll be something to go up in the rapture if we're here when the Lord comes and we don't go by the death route. But this evening, where are we going? We've been instructed to occupy until he comes. We just can't sit back and say, Lord, we're ready for you to come. Come and get us. No, we can't do that. He said, occupy until I come. In other words, stay busy and do the work I've commissioned you to do. And he has commissioned us to do it. In 1 John chapter 4, if you'd like to turn there, you can. But I just want to use one verse there. In verse 17 says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we in this world. In other words, where the Lord is, that's where we're going to find satisfaction in the world that we're living in. Keep him on board. Keep him in your heart. Keep him in your mind. Keep him in your everyday living. Every place you go, take him with you. Don't ever venture anywhere where the Lord can't go. Keep him there. And we're living in a changing world. Have you looked around lately? It's changing in a rapid pace. I don't know. I sometimes don't know whether at my age I'm able to keep up. But you know, the grace of God is sufficient for every one of us. Doesn't matter how old we are. Doesn't matter how young we may be. God's grace is sufficient for the age that we're living in. And where is the conservative ranks today? And where are we going? We that are conservative holiness folk, we testify to that fact that we're on the conservative realm. That's the place where we operate. But you know, it's a different age that we're living in. We're not living back 50, 60, 70 years ago as our forefathers did. We're in a new age now. What are we going to do with it? How are we going to react to it? How are we going to handle what's going on in the church world? Well, the world's changed, that's a surety, but the church world has changed as well. And the world is, first of all, the world is rapidly changing. Look at some of the changes. How many of you are at the age of where you have a little bit of nostalgia? You look back. You look back more than... You're just not admitting it tonight. Some of you that have a little bit of gray hair, you look back more than maybe you look ahead, because you can remember those days back there, right? How many of you can remember pulling into the gas pump and for a dollar get 5 gallons of gas? Well, it's almost as bad. You pull in now and get a gallon for $5 almost. I'll tell you what. How many of you young gals and boys, guys here, are just about getting ready to get your license? Any of you? Yeah, there's one back there. It's not going to be long, huh? I tell you what, you're going to have some wheels, you know. And what turns those wheels is some kind of petrol. You're going to have some kind of motion lotion to go in that tank. I tell you, it's tough. I pulled that old Buick in just day before yesterday and filled it up, and it was $45. Wow. Unbelievable. Almost had another coronary. It's terrible. But we're in a changing world. And we can remember when, you know, gas was 5 gallons for a dollar. Puff rice and puff wheat was 10 cents a bag. How many can remember that? You go into the grocery store, they sold cereal in bags about this long, about that big around. Puff wheat and puff rice. 10 cents. I tell you, you buy a couple of those, last you for days. How about it? That's right, 3 for a quarter. Wow. Tell you what, those were good old days, right? You know, it was terrible. We can't live back there in the good old days. What about when you went to buy you a soft drink? You might have had a Coke. You didn't have all the different. Boy, aren't the decisions that you have to make in these days something terrible? I tell you, go in just to buy a soft drink today. Well, what are you going to drink? I tell you, you have so many different selections, you almost had to call your family attorney to find out what you need to drink. But it was 5 cents. 5 cents would buy you a Coke. Wow. Would you think that'd buy you one now? No, I don't think so. 5 cents. We could go down Miss Rowlett's grocery and we could take the little, you know, the coal oil can. Does anybody know what coal oil is? They're all old hands. You young fellas would call it kerosene. It's coal oil. And you used it for a lot of different things. You'd burn it in your lamps. You would put it in your lanterns. You'd pour it in a dish pan when you cut your foot or stepped on a nail. Put your foot in it. It would take care of the blood poison. You didn't have an infection in it. It even took out the soreness. But you could go to Mr. Alice and take your little bitty can. You probably got it in a little gallon can then. You get one crank for a nickel, 2 cranks for a dime. Didn't sell it by the gallon, sold it by the crank. Whoa, those are good old days. Times is changing. Then you could go in, you know, and buy lunch meat. You could get the expensive if you wanted to, get the better brands. It might cost you 39 cents a pound, but you could get the garlic bologna for 29 cents. A whole pound. I tell you what, you came out with a big package for 29 cents or less. Times are changing. What's the cost you go in to get a pound of lunch meat now? 4.5, maybe 5? I don't know. Depends on where you get it. You've been stuck out here in the country. You say, well, I can drive in to Bedford down here and I can get it for $3.95. But if I go over here to JC store, it costs me 4.25. Don't forget all that fuel that's going to cost you to go down there and get it now. 29 cents a pound. How many of you young fellas date? How many of you are old enough to date? I don't know what. I don't know down here in the country how old they have to be to date. Nobody dating down here? Where'd all these young married couples come from? Well, I tell you what. You know, the world hasn't changed so much that there isn't such things dating anymore. You listen to your parents, and when you get 25 or 30, they might let you date. I was married when I was 18, 1 week. I was married 1 week. And I was 18, and the next week I got married. I've been married a long time. I would have got married when I was 17, but the law in Kentucky said you can't get married when you're 17 in Kentucky. You got to be 18, so we had to cancel our cake and our flowers and sell our cake. We already had them. But anyway, times is changing. You get married anytime you want to now, I think. But what about dating? That was back in days when I didn't know anything about Christianity. You know, I didn't know anything about being a Christian. My wife came out of her mom was a Christian. That's how I got in. She began to pray for me. Lord got a hold of me, but we wasn't living for the Lord, and we'd go to the drive-in. We'd get 2 tickets for the drive-in for a dollar. Go to the picture show. And we'd put a dollar and a half in the gas tank, and after the picture show, we'd stop at Frisch's, and we could eat for $2 or less, both of us. And I'd make her go in and get it, or I'd make her give the order. So we could have a date for $4 to $5. You'll never do it, guys. You'll never take a girl out in these days for $4. Well, it depends on where you take her. If you take her fishing, you might be able to buy a dozen night crawlers for $4 out of them. Anyway, times are changing. Things are different. The world is changing, rapidly changing. There are things that we used to could do we can't do anymore. You used to could pray anywhere you wanted to in this country that we're living in, but now you can't. There are places that you can't pray. They won't allow you. If you do, they'll arrest you. There's some things that we used to could do that we can't do anymore. But I'm here to tell you that we're here and we've got to do something with it. We just can't quit living, especially living for the Lord in this age that we're living in. I remember back when you could pray in schools, but you know we as ministers can't pray in schools anymore. Back when Jeremy, that's our youngest son, was graduating, the graduating class, they called one day and wanted to know if I would speak to the graduating class of Trimble County High School. They were having a professional day, and they were calling in people like the sheriff and the local banker and the clerk of the county clerk and some of those fellows, that people that had positions just to come in and to speak to the seniors before they graduated. And they had two different classes. They had to divide them up because they had so many. So they called me and wanted to know if I would speak to the senior class. I said, I'd be glad to, but I can't pray. I can't pray for them. Anyway, I got two sessions. I got a session with each one of the classes, and I got to speak to those young people. It was a real thrill to be able to relate to those young people and got to tell them about the things of God. And when I ended up that session, I said, and they had a monitor sitting in the back, one of the teachers with his notepad taking notes. I said, young people, I said, I cannot pray for you today. They will not allow me to pray in this school. But I said, I'll tell you what, if I could pray, this is what I'd say. And I proceeded to tell them, if I could pray, this is what I say. And I told them what I'd say. And the teacher sat back there, and a big smile came over his face, and he sat there and laughed through the whole thing. The world's changing that we're living in. It's changing. And you know, we may not be able to slow it down, and we may not be able to stop it. But we've got to do something with it. What are we going to do? What are we going to do with the world that we live in that's changing? Well, I tell you, one thing that we need to do is we need to hold to some of the old-fashioned concepts of good, clean living. That should never change. To do right things. Let me tell you, young people, it's easier to do right things than it is to do things wrong. Somewhere down the road, if you do wrong things, you'll be found out. You'll pay. You can't get away with it. So you might as well just decide in this changing world that you're living in is to make up your mind that as far as it's possible with you, you're going to do things right. And do it right the first time. And you won't have to go back and do it over again. There's a lot of places in your life that's serious. One of them is, I think, that you need to have an education. I think that's very important. In the world that we're living in, if you've got an education, it'll help you to make your way. Oh, I don't say that's the most important thing in your life, but I think it's an important thing that you get an education. Back in my day, you know, you could pull out of school and you didn't need a high school diploma to get a good job. But today, you can't get one without it. You need to get an education. And then it's very important when you do become the age to date, if your parents will let you date, then it's very important who you date and who you go with. And don't think that you're going to go with somebody that's not trying to do right things, that you're going to change them. It's probably not going to happen. They'll probably change you. So if they're not going to do things right and do right things, then you better pick out somebody else, because you're going to have a hard way to go. You know, so there's a lot of things that we can do, even in the changing world that we're living in. Not only is the world changing, but the church world is changing as well. On the day of Pentecost, when those were in the upper room, the Holy Ghost came and they were commissioned to go out into the world and to preach the gospel and teaching in the name of Jesus Christ, baptizing in the name of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, God the Holy Spirit. And so they were launched out into a new world. As far as the religious realm is concerned, they were in a changing world. You know, the conversation might have been something like this when they went out from that upper room and began to spread out into the world. You might have heard them say something like this. Well, since we're going to go out and start some new churches, I'm going to have to get me a new camel. But have you been down the camel lot lately? I took that old camel that I've been riding and been using, and I went down to buy me a new camel, and I tell you, the price on new camels is up a third. And they didn't want to give me anything for my old camel. I might have to use donkeys. But you know, if we use donkeys, we don't get the water mileage out of them like we do the camels. Well, anyway, that's what they faced back in those days. Another one you might hear them say, well, you know, I went down to the meat market the other day to get a leg of lamb. You would have thought I was going to buy the whole lamb for the price they wanted for just one leg. That might have been another conversation. Another might have been something like this. You know, my wife and I, we were discussing about our retirement. We were going to get us a new tent when we retired. But have you priced them lately? By the time we get there to retirement, we're probably just going to have to buy a few patches and put on that old tent we got and live in it. Well, I'm sure back then when the New Testament church was launched out into a changing world, they faced the very same things that we're facing here today. And the church world is changing. Everybody's a Christian. Everybody's going to go to heaven. Nobody wants to hear anything about hell. Everybody, you see, is all right. I walk into the hospital room to deal with somebody, and you very seldom ever find anybody that will say, I need the Lord, I need His help. Oh, preacher, I'm all right. And they'll slip out into eternity, lost and undone without God. The church world is changing. Sunday used to be a special day. It was a day set aside whereby people could come into the church and be refreshed in their spirits, and that was the day that they would rest their bodies and get ready for another week. It's not that way now. They kind of all run together, and people are wondering why they're wore out and why things aren't working like they're supposed to. Well, the church is changing. The values are different. Church used to be a holy place. It was a place you could come in and feel the presence of God. It still should be a place where the world or anybody else can come in and feel God's presence. You know, every one of us ought to make ourselves a committee of one to make sure that when we enter into the church, that God's presence comes with us. How do we do that? How can we assure ourselves and everybody else that God's going to be there? Bring Him with you when you come. Bring him with you. Sometimes it's through a testimony. Sometimes it's through a prayer. Sometimes it's through raising of a hand or saying a big praise the Lord. In other words, be aware of the atmosphere that's within the four walls of the sanctuary of God. It's an important thing to be able to feel God's presence. And who else is going to do it if we don't do it as professing Christians in this age? All the church world is changing, but I'm here to tell you it doesn't need to. It doesn't need to change. Listen, you know what I think we need in this modern age that we're living in? I think we need to really consider building in the holiness of God into our everyday lives by having the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Well, how do you do that, preacher? How do you build holiness into your everyday living? Well, I want to tell you something. You will never change God's Word, His concept of holiness. It's going to be the same all the time. It will never change. We're serving a God that never changes. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And anytime you come in contact with God or Jesus Christ, He's going to be the same. You never have to wonder where He is. You never have to wonder how He thinks. You never need to wonder what He thinks about a particular thing. It's always going to be the same.
That's right.
If He tells you not to do something, you can go back 1,000 times. It's still going to be the same. He's not going to change. You're not going to change the message of holiness that comes out of the written page of God's Word. But you know what? What we're going to have to do? We're going to have to change us to fit the message. We're going to have to change us to fit the book. That's the only way it can work. And we're going to have to do it in the midst of this modern age of
living.
I went to Peoria, Illinois, back a year or so ago, visiting. The people that we were visiting took us to their church. If I remember right, I was so blown out of, on Sunday morning, we were going through town and they took us to this church, and if I remember right, it was a Methodist church. I'm not sure what it was, because I didn't know my name when I left. It was contemporary. And besides that, it was Youth Day. It was one of those kind of come-as-you-are type days, and had all the youth doing it, and had contemporary music, and I thought, Lord, help us. Can you get us out of here? But we endured it. We sat there and went through the service, and when the service was over, was a huge church. There were a lot of people there, and when we got to our feet and was leaving that congregation, and not one individual came by to say, it was good to have you here today. So we went home to eat the noon meal, and I thought, man, I'm going to have to cleanse myself somewhere. You know, I'd have been better off to went to a boxing match somewhere, or a wrestling match, or went down to the racetrack, or got my fishing. I would have been a whole lot better off to got my fishing pole and went to the lakeside and sat there and fished. The church world's changing. But you know, they think they're going to heaven. They think they're on their way. But I'm here to tell you, the majority of the church world is on the wrong road, heading in the wrong direction. Not only was the church a holy place, but the people were respectable. It was the people that pray together, people that care for one another, people that love one another. That's the need of the hour. We need a healthy church where unhealthy people can come in and find God. I used to tell them there in Madison, and I still tell them if I ever get a chance, I said, this church was founded on the principles found in God's Word. It was founded to be holy. It was founded to house the presence of the Holy Spirit. God meets here. The Holy Ghost comes here. And the doors are open for those that would come by this way to come in to feel the presence of God. And the only way that you can preserve that is to be holy, to keep the church holy. And I said, when I'm gone and when we're gone, if it ceases to be a holy place where the world can come in to find God, would you light a match to it and burn it down? Because it's no good. You know, every one of us has somebody in our family that needs God. And certainly we have neighbors that need God. And the church in this modern age that we're living in needs to still house the presence of the Holy Spirit. This is a place where God meets. I'm glad that we came to this place today and I can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. Keep it that way. And you can do it in this world of change. You can do it. Did you know there are people that are looking at us hoping that we never change? They're hoping we'll never change because they like us just the way we are. Why? Because we're a security to them. Who do they call on when they need prayer? Who do they call on when they need spiritual help? Who do they call on? It's people like you that are sitting in these pews that know God and know how to pray. That's who they call on. So they don't want us to change. May God help us tonight. So we can't change the message of holiness to fit the age that we're living in. We just have to change ourselves to fit the message of holiness in these days. There's some things that we need to hold on to in these days that we're living in. And that's practical holiness. You know, we're living in an age when there's things that we're going to have to deal with that years ago they didn't deal so much with. You know, when about 2 out of 3 marriages end up in divorce court, we'll have to deal with those people. Hey, we've got to have a message for them. Are you going to meet them at the door and turn them away and say, well, hey, we can't do anything with you? No. We're in a different age, but I'm here to tell you there's a message for those people. We've got to minister to them. Well, may God help us. Jesus is the same as he was yesterday, and he'll be the same tomorrow as he is today. He won't change. His holiness will never change. So what do we need to do? We need to let him mold us and shape us and make our lives what they need to be to fit his holiness. We're going to make it through this age. God will always have a people serving him. He'll always have. Oh, you say, preacher, it's tough out there. It is. It's tough out there. We've got people in the holiness ranks. Over on the left. These are saying, you can't do this, and you can't go there, and you can't be this, and you can't be that. There's people over here saying you can do anything you want to do instead of, you know, follow your heart. Follow your thoughts. No. But here we are in the middle trying to do the right thing. If we follow God, then some of these over here say you're too liberal. Some say on this side you're too fanatic. What are you going to do? You're going to follow God.
Yes.
You're going to follow the Lord.
Yes.
You're going to let the Holy Spirit lead you in the paths of righteousness. I'm going to let God tell me
where I need to go, what I need to do. Praise the Lord. That's the only way we're going to get through this time. And to save us every day.
I have no other desire than to die a Christian. Serving God. Let the world do what it will. Let the church change if it will. But the Lord saved me to serve Him. I want to make it, don't you? Don't you want to make it to the city? The only way we can do it is keep God in our hearts and lives in this changing world that we're living in. Where are we going? Where are we going? What are we going to do with this age we're living in? I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to just keep serving God. Keep minding the Lord. Keep doing what the Lord wants us to do. And we'll make it. One of these days He's going to split the eastern sky. And we'll make it. Praise His name. Stand with me and bow your head tonight.